At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Anna Borshavskaya. She at the Washington Institute has a new book, Putin's War in Syria, Russian Foreign Policy, and the Price of America's Absence. This is the background to Putin and Obama and Kerry and Lavrov and their counselors entering into an exchange that led to what appeared to be a cooperation in the Syrian civil war in 2013. But we're now in December of 1979, and this is critical to understand how Mr. Putin and his Kremlin counselors are going forward in Syria now. Anna, Afghanistan, December 79, the 103rd Guards Airborne Special Operations land in order to protect, we were told, the Soviet regime from terrorist undermining. This is critical not only because Soviets will spend years in Afghanistan before the ignominious retreat, similar to what we've witnessed in America, but also because this, I understand from your reporting, becomes the chrysalis of the Russian allegation that the United States created al-Qaeda, that the United States is responsible for terrorism. It begins here in Afghanistan. Is that correct, Anna?
Right. You know, and two things to point out, two points on this. First, the reason why I talk about Afghanistan is because if you look at the initial stages of the Russian-Syria intervention, many analysts predicted that Russia will find itself in a quagmire, that it will be another Afghanistan for Russia. The sort of the ghost of Afghanistan had arisen almost immediately. But if we look at how the Soviets handled Afghanistan, it is in fact a fundamentally different way of handling an intervention than from the way Putin has handled Syria. And so what the Syria intervention shows, this is really a key point, that it was designed precisely to avoid another Afghanistan. And in fact, it shows a number of key lessons learned from some of those failures. And of course, the other is, as you say, Putin's claim that the United States created al-Qaeda and that it stands behind other terrorist groups does originate, the claim originates in this time period. But and I talk about this in the book in more detail. It's it's somewhat anachronistic claim.
Yes, I find the claim, though, useful when we come to Syria. Again and again, it's repeated that Russia's presence is anti-terrorism and the U.S. is not to be trusted. Again, Anna, this returns to your point that the Kremlin sees Syria and the attendants in the surrounding states as a major battlefield against the United States and the West, correct? So we're looking at this all from the Putin is, at this point, a junior officer in the KGB. There's years ahead. Let's race ahead to Putin, named as prime minister by Boris Yeltsin in August of 99. In December of 99, Yeltsin resigns, making Vladimir Putin eligible to become president. At this point, can we characterize the Soviet failure as complete? Or were they maintaining conversations with Syria and with other aspects of the Soviet empire? Did it just all fly apart, Anna?
Sure. And you know, to start with your first point, I think that's exactly right. The fact of the matter is Putin had seen Syria and broader engagement with the Middle East as part of a great power competition. It was geopolitics. And whereas the United States had sort of reshifted its priorities since 2001 towards counterterrorism, from Putin's perspective, geopolitics continued to be the key defining feature of world affairs. And so I think, again, both sides were looking at this issue and fundamentally different lenses. When Putin became first interim president and then president, you saw some of first of all, even, you know, let me even backtrack a little bit more. Russia's contacts with Syria never truly ended. Certainly in the 1990s, Russia reduced its presence in the Middle East, but ultimately they never fully severed their contacts, their connection. And certainly in Syria, memories of the Soviet Union remained very fresh. Now, Putin, one of the things he had done when he had come in is forgiven a lot of loans that the Syrian regime, along with, by the way, other regimes in the Middle East had owed Russia. He had taken a lot of steps, diplomatic efforts, business efforts to slowly rebuild Russia's presence, to kind of bring back the presence that it lost in the 1990s. And your point about terrorism also is so important, because if you look at some of the earlier speeches Putin gave, if we think back about the Beslan tragedy, specifically in Russia, Putin gave a speech where he basically indirectly blamed the United States for funding terrorism. So he does seem to be guided by this erroneous belief that the United States is out to get Russia. And this belief appears very early into his tenure as president.
The second, let's get to the second Chechen war, just because it becomes a predicate also for the Syria conflict. He is named a vice president in August. In September, two tragic events. Two apartment buildings are attacked with detonations. I believe more than 300 people died. It was blamed on the Chechens, and this led to the all-out assault on Chechnya, which was also a massacre, but there were heavy casualties on both sides. What I take from your reporting is that Putin learned that that was not the way forward. Heavy-handedness was not useful. Now, those two lessons, how do they come together in Beslan? What is that, 4 years later? What does he learn in Afghanistan and Chechnya that he applies in Beslan?
Sure. Well, one of the key things he says in the Beslan speech is he said, "We were weak. We were weak, and the weak get beaten." And it is in this speech where he also says that there are, again, he doesn't directly name the United States or the West, but everybody understood that that's who he means. He says there are forces out there, those out there who look to weaken Russia, to break it apart. Russia still possesses nuclear weapons, and some people can't handle that, and so forth. And so in this speech, again, it was a stand on how Russia was going to conduct itself based on what Putin, the way Putin had perceived the geopolitical situation. Unfortunately, again, rather than the tragedy of Beslan is that it was the Russian security services that have mishandled the hostage crisis, and in fact, it were mothers of children who died in that terrorist act. Blame the Russian government for mishandling the situation. So that herein lies the ultimate tragedy. Rather than looking at what could have been done differently internally, Putin looked externally. Looks for external enemies.
Anna Borshevskaya is the author of the new book, Putin's War in Syria, Russian Foreign Policy and the Price of America's Absence. We're now turning to Syria itself, what Mr. Putin learned as a junior officer watching the Soviet Union fall apart, Afghanistan and the huge casualties that undermine confidence in the regime, even the Second Chechen War, which also led to casualties and undermined credibility. Mr. Putin takes all those lessons, and we come to Syria. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.